Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us as we face the issues today. We'll be dealing with a continuing saga that we have faced in America now for about 4 months. And that is talking about the coronavirus, better known as the COVID-19 virus, and how we should respond. I'm simply calling today's broadcast, Wake Up America. Because there are several things that we need to think about, understand, and realize what has happened, what is happening, and what shall happen, and how should we respond? How should we respond as Christians in particular? There are a number of Christian talking heads that are saying that it is okay to shut the churches down because, after all, we as believers, we are the body of Christ. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So it's okay for the government to shut the churches down, and we need to, as Christians, just, and I'm paraphrasing, some of these writers are saying, and some of these talking heads, basically saying, we as Christians need to just shut up, sit down, hide in the closet, be quiet, and let the government tell us that it's okay to close the church. And wondering how you feel about that. In fact, on tomorrow's broadcast, we'll talk about that subject. Should Christians just simply sit back and allow the churches to be shut down as we have seen? Now, I'm thankful there's a modicum of reopening in America. We'll talk about that today. But the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. How should Christians, how should pastors, how should Christian leaders view what has taken place? If we allow this so-called crisis to cause or to allow the federal, state, and local governments to simply by fiat order the churches closed, what will be the next crisis? What will be the end result? How will we respond in the future? How should we have responded in this go-around, as I would call it, of the demand for churches to be closed? All of those are issues that I believe boil up to the forefront and should be analyzed and determined so that we as Christians will know how we should respond. I have found during this crisis, this hysteria, this panic, this governmentally induced fear, I found that many, many Christians are obeying God, government more than God, and basically saying that when the government says I can go back to church, I will. When, ladies and gentlemen, let me labor on a much belabored point that I've made week in and week out for several weeks now. The coronavirus has killed a number of people, and it's sad with any one death. It's heartbreaking for the families and those that are attached to the families where that loved one dies. But any death, that is true. But ladies and gentlemen, the coronavirus thus far has not equaled to the number of deaths annually from the common flu. And yet we have, with hair on fire, shut down America and destroyed the economy. And that we will talk about today in this broadcast when we say, Wake Up America. When the foundations of a nation are being destroyed, how should the Christian respond? What should the Christian do? And that's a question that's asked in Psalms 11 and verse 3. And I believe it goes back to the fact that as Christians, we need to truly recognize the blessing of America that God's given us with the religious liberties, the freedom of speech, and the right to assemble. And that, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching across America, those very rights being eviscerated, destroyed, abridged, wiped out as though they were never there. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. That is truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, that is a much needed fact today. Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's as we continue in the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, it is as we continue to seek the truth of the Word of God that God gives wisdom, illumination, understanding, and direction in our hearts and lives. I don't know how a person survives in a nation, in America, in a home, or any place where the Word of God is not read, not studied, where you do not inculcate the Word of God in your heart and life. May I commend to you the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, which is the source book of all truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. God's word is true, past, present, future. It is without error. It is without admixture. It is infallible. It is inerrant. And we need to depend on it. But when we depend on the Word of God, we're depending on truth. And as George Orwell said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we see taking place today in the Beltway in Washington in particular. It was the 15th century church reformer and theologian, Jan Hus, that said this: "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, and tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And I believe that's what we need to adhere to, ladies and gentlemen. We need to, as Christians, seek the truth. That is finding the source of truth and the truth itself, and not just some ad lib of what someone is saying, our philosophical rhetoric, our doctrinal dogma coming from some denomination, but what does the Word of God say? We need to seek the truth, to listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, Jan Hus said, "Defend the truth even to death." And I truly believe, ladies and gentlemen, that before the church is raptured out of this old world, before the body of Christ is raptured out, suddenly seized, taken out of this old world. By the way, classic text on that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, that we'll be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that before that transpires, we as Christians will witness the coming persecution and prosecution of Christians in America, even as we are seeing in places like Venezuela, North Korea, and China, and Russia, et cetera, around the globe, where Christians have no value, viewed as no value, viewed as a waste of humanity. And as a result of that, prosecution and persecution. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say, and I have touched on it before, I believe what we're seeing and have seen in the panic that's been brought about, the panic and hysteria, hair on fire, that's been brought about by the governmental agencies and the 24/7 news about death, 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 and dying based on the coronavirus. I believe that we have watched the stage being set. I believe that we have watched the players being put in place. I believe that we have watched the response and the reaction from our government and what it shall be in the future when these things take place. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to be very, very careful with what we say and do and how we respond to it, and not simply willy-nilly, as I would call it, if I can use that term. I don't know where it originated. If we can just willy-nilly, out of hand, embrace what the government's done, especially to the churches, I believe there needs to be an awakening in America a Christian awakening for us to realize where we've come from and what we have as a nation with our Constitution and Bill of Rights that affords us the freedom that no other nation on the face of the globe has ever had. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. The telephone call gets us directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion in relationship to these events that we see swirling around us in America that's dramatically changing life in America as we once knew it. Ladies and gentlemen, as America continues to face what I call the grim realities of a new normal, we continue to witness the heavy hand, and I'm calling that factually, the heavy hand of Big Brother government looming over our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, notwithstanding the fact of how, where, or when the Wuhan Chinese virus originated and how China has continued to cover up the facts, no matter how the world suffers, regardless of that, I believe we must come to grips, ladies and gentlemen, with some very somber, serious facts as to where we are and what's taking place in America. When we see the government forcing churches to close, businesses to close, and pastors being arrested, and store owners fined and ticketed, and their businesses threatened, it's now about time that we recognize, ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe it's about the health of America. I don't believe it's about the health of our nation that's causing these things to take place. Ladies and gentlemen, for example, I believe that the church has been targeted by the, I would call it the atheists, the agnostics, the left-wing liberals that have viewed the church as non-entities, as useless entities in American life all of these years. Here's an article that says Louisiana pastor, while on house arrest, again defies the coronavirus order with church services. Life Tabernacle Church pastor Tony Spell admitted violating Louisiana's mandate to avoid large gatherings by hosting hundreds of worshipers. Louisiana pastor who defied state orders against large gatherings amid the coronavirus pandemic has been placed under house arrest. Now, let me pause for a moment. This pastor already has a constitutional attorney. They have filed the charges, and I believe ultimately it will be vindicated. But this is what the man is going through thus far, simply for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The article says, Tony Spell, pastor of Life Tabernacle Church in the city of Central, has been fined and fitted with an ankle bracelet and placed under house arrest after he would not promise to maintain social distancing, his attorney confirmed Sunday. Spell showed up in the church's services Sunday to cheers, according to the live stream posted on Facebook. The pastor showed off his ankle monitor while standing in front of his congregation, claiming, I'm not hiding anymore. It's a dirty, rotten, crying shame when you have to hide in America, he said. Joseph Long, Spell's attorney, told NBC News in a statement that Spell lived 50 yards from his church, which still planned to host services Sunday. Long characterized the judge's orders as forcing Spell to stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to his congregation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that's okay, I need to hear from you. If you believe that's all right, I need to hear from you. If you believe that it's all right for churches to be closed and shuttered, if you believe that it's all right for pastors to be arrested, ticketed and fined and put ankle bracelets on, and at the same time releasing those that are felons in American society, some of which have immediately gone out and committed rape, robbery, mayhem, and murder immediately after being released from prison. And it's okay to put Christians in prison. It's okay to challenge Christian pastors and to fine them and to put ankle bracelets on them, to monitor them. If that's all right with you, I need to hear from you. I need to understand the rationale from which you are making your determinations and judgment calls. We're going to talk about that on tomorrow's broadcast more deeply, because there are a lot of the Christian leaders in America writing articles and standing and speaking about how we are the church individually Therefore, if you close, the government closes the church door, we can still worship, we can still pray, we can still serve God, and we don't have to worry about that. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what our Constitution says? Is that what our Bill of Rights says? Is that what the Apostle Paul says? Said? Is that what Peter said when arrested and thrown in jail? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe it's about the health anymore. If we're about the health, there would already be a reopening of America, because the realization, the recognition that the numbers, the total number of deaths in America from the COVID-19 is no match from the total number of deaths that are all-encompassing. What they're saying is that a COVID death is more important than a death by an automobile crash. It's more important, and it's more drastic and dramatic than death by alcoholism or death by spousal abuse or death by malpractice, medical malpractice, and I can go on and on and on. Those number of deaths, and I've read that chart on the broadcast before, those number of deaths are far exceeding the COVID-19 deaths. And yet we have about 55,000, somewhere less than 55,000 COVID-19 deaths. And as I'll talk about later in this broadcast, where we're now discovering that hospitals and states and cities and municipalities have, if you please, somehow jacked the numbers up on their records as to how many deaths by the COVID-19. Everybody that died in the nursing homes in Washington state, they said was COVID-19. Many, if not most of those that have died in nursing homes in New York City, in the state of New York, were listed as COVID-19. Many of those that are listed that way are absolutely listed incorrectly, and we'll see that later in this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, because the books are being fixed so that it would make the public want to sit up and take notice and be in compliance with the demands of Big Brother. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. Actor Kevin Sorbo, S-O-R-B-O, Sorbo, and I don't know him, but the article says, wake up, people. When the state does these things, it's not about your health. Actor producer Kevin Sorbo is urging Americans to wake up and to see the dangers and hypocrisy of how the state is exploiting the coronavirus pandemic to grab power and limit your freedom, end quote. In a series of Sunday tweets, Sorbos warned that it's not about your health when the government tells citizens they can go to a store to buy one thing but not another, or actually does the very thing it's prohibiting. Likewise, Sorbos says, it's not about your health when the state says it's too dangerous for you to walk into the park with your child, then puts dangerous criminals back on the street, or when it tells you it's safe to go in person to a grocery store, but not into a voting booth. Everybody, please wake up. When the state tells you it's safe to go home, when a state tells you to go home and you must shelter in place, he says it's not necessarily about your health. When a state tells you that it's about your health and for you that you cannot walk in the park, but they release criminals, it's not about your health. When the state tells you that you can go to Home Depot to buy a sponge, but it's dangerous to go to buy a flower, and when the state shuts down millions of private businesses but doesn't lay off a single government employee, it's not about your health. When the state prevents you from buying cucumber seeds, but it's dangerous, but allows you to a person to buy a lottery ticket, when the state tells you it's dangerous to go golf or fish alone, but they can make up, get makeup and hair done for 5 TV appearances, it's not about your health. When the state puts you in jail for walking the park with your child because it's too dangerous to let criminals out of jail for their health, and when the state tells you it's dangerous to get treated by a doctor, yet says a liquor store is essential, it's not about your health, ladies and gentlemen. When the state lets you go to a grocery store or hardware store, but is demanding mail-in voting, it's not about your health. Wake up, people. If you think that it's about your health, you're mistaken. Please open your eyes. Stop being led like blind sheep. I couldn't have said that better, ladies and gentlemen. And that's exactly what we see taking place. The state is saying that it's dangerous to go to church. Churches must be closed, but a liquor store can be open. It's dangerous to have elective surgery, but you can have an abortion. it's dangerous to go into the church, but you can go into Lowe's and Home Depot and to Walmart's with hundreds and hundreds of people elbow to elbow, but you can't go into a church and worship God. Ladies and gentlemen, I am saddened to see that so many Christians and churches have bowed to Big Brother rather than to that of bowing to God. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
It's interesting to see the agenda at work. Obviously, a handful of these rabid leftist, socialist Democrats have come out and kind of admitted what their course is, that they intend to shift this country down a different path, down a different course. But if you look point by point by point, their agenda becomes very clear, very relevant, all the way down to, and this kind of just hit me recently, think of the stores where you can still walk into the Walmart, still walk into the Lowe's, but your little mom and pop timber operation, lumber operation, they're not going to be open in most states. Your little mom and pop shoe store ain't going to be open in most states. All your little independents are being crushed, absolutely crushed. The Lowe's store closest to my home, by the way, there are no restrictions. I mean, I joked yesterday, half joking, half serious, that I'm going to go break the law by going to church with a small group of folks, and then I'm going to go to the Walmart and hang out with a big group of folks. But think of how this plays out. Those little guys are absolutely being crushed and devastated, while Walmart or the Lowe's that I was about to give the example of, they were doing $150,000 a day in a small town. I'm talking a town of 36,000 people doing $150,000 a day. They said that was a number that surpassed their average sale day where they do a huge promotion. Day after day after day, $150,000, $150,000, and that's great. I love the fact they're doing business. I love it. But the other part of that picture needs to be seen. The little independents are being crushed today. Churches are being assaulted, but I'm not seeing a single instance of a Muslim imam being arrested, like they arrested the preacher down in Tampa. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's an agenda at work, and those are kind of peripheral. I mean, the broader thing seems to be a global agenda, a one world government agenda. And guess what? As believers, we know that will happen. This event may or may not take us there. It sure does look like it is taking us there. We know that one world agenda that we see in the Bible ends up having a mark, the mark of the beast. And we have more and more people wanting to have an identifier, whether it's an injectable chip or a tattoo, or they want something to. So you see the pieces of the puzzle coming together, and you see how the oppression of Christians is real. And sometimes it comes from without, and sometimes from within. Now, I shared with you privately, and I'd like to share with folks on the radio. I had a fella literally yesterday morning before church. Most of us do, many of us do this. We'll kind of glance down at what's going on Facebook. I'm sure most of you have Facebook. This friend of mine, brother in Christ, supposed to know his Bible, he literally typed on Facebook, "All those having real church are in direct violation of God's word. All those people saying, 'Where's your faith?' are disobeying the Bible." And he goes on and on. He quotes some verses out of context, and he says basically we ought to just fall in line, submit, do whatever. What do you say to that? I mean, I've got my opinion. You know what my opinion is. What do you say to that? You think there's any rational biblical reason why the church should absolutely kowtow to anything and everything that the bureaucrats have to say?
None whatsoever. In fact, many people bring up Romans chapter 13 and a gross misunderstanding of Romans 13. That is the basic classic text for God setting up government and that we are to obey government. But the Romans 13 verses 1 through 7 is the classic text in general. When you get to verse 6 and 7, it says that it is our responsibility as Christians, we to render to Caesar what's Caesar's and render to God that which is God's. And it's talking about paying taxes to the government. But what do we render to God? That is our service, our sacrificial service, our worship, our adoration, our awe, our reverence before God. How do you do that in collective worship? In Acts chapter 2, when the church was birthed, the birth of the church, what did the people do? Did they simply go into their homes and isolate themselves and say, we're not going to meet? No, they went from house to house, meeting together, praying and fellowshipping and studying the apostles' doctrine. That is worship, and that is collective worship. Then you find in the text in Hebrews where we're commanded, it's not an option, commanded to assemble ourselves together in worship. And the scripture even says in the Hebrews 10 text that we're to do so, the more we see the day, that's the final days approaching, the more we ought to surrender and submit our lives into worship before the Lord. And yet you have those, as you're speaking of, that have the philosophy and they're misunderstanding scripture completely when they say that we ought to obey government in that sense. In the Romans 13 text again, and about verses, I'm not looking at it, but about verses, right page, right column, next to the bottom in my Bible. It's about verses 3 and 4. It clearly says that government's responsibility is twofold, and that is to prosecute evil and to protect good. So the question begs to be asked, would you consider worship good? Would you consider worship, based on the authority of Scripture, to be honorable and to be that which we ought to do? It was the Apostle Peter that said, in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, after being beaten and thrown in prison and released and commanded not to preach, he said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So my position historically has been, anything that violates the premise and the principle, the theological doctrinal basis of the Word of God, anything that violates God's Word and its principle and its operation in our lives, we need to say yes to God and no to government. Now, that doesn't mean at all that we're somehow supposed to say that we're going to disobey God's word and not have anything to do with God's word at all. We need to recognize that, and we need to honor God in it. It is the fact that in our lives today, I believe that we go out in the world completely unprepared to meet what the world is saying and what the world is doing. In fact, the more we see that taking place, the more we ought to worship the Lord. What do you say to that?
I think it's amazing that a person that's supposed to know their Bible would quote such things and not realize the broader context historically, the fact that that this country, the colonists that came here fled, many of them, so they could have freedom of worship. And he doesn't perhaps understand the fact that this idea of submission to your government, does that mean that those in Nazi Germany needed to submit to that government, that Corrie ten Boom and her family violated the law, thus violated the scripture by hiding people? Does he mean that in China today, as a believer, that we ought not to meet because the government says don't meet? Does he mean that Lee Hong, that disappeared, from what I understand, I don't know if he's turned up again, and I think we're in a radio format where perhaps I don't want to give too much detail, but I believe he's disappeared. He's gone now. Nobody knows where he's at. He was running a church out of his home
in China.
It is devastating to say to a Christian, you just need to submit, you just need to roll over, you just need to stop worshiping God, you need to stop corporate worship, corporate meeting. That is absurd from my view. Maybe I'm getting some. I don't want to get anything wrong. I want to make sure I'm right before my God, before I'm right before my government, because being right before your God is much more important than being right before your government.
Absolutely. Greg, we've got about a half a minute to go. I'm reading a text from a listener. It says, is my comment for the day. People are completely unprepared for what's coming spiritually and worldly. We have been trying to warn them for years, so they can't hear us anymore. Christians need to invest in the things that can be shared with those that will be in great need soon, in order to demonstrate the compassion of Christ. The proud and arrogant ostriches have become arrogant, so will soon be humbled as beggars, completely unprepared, he says. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour. Be right back. Don't turn your dial as we continue. Let's face the issues.
Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.